I forgot one point I wanted to say last night before we start. This is one very quick point, but it was relevant about Mother Isha. For those who are here, we were speaking about Mother Isha in the beginning of our talk last night. I just wanted to add this one point that I also observed the day I was there. When I first arrived, I came in, sat down, she was just finishing eating. And she definitely remembered me. She smiled. Om Niranjana Swami, sat down and we started talking. I asked her how she was. And while we were talking, one of the hospital workers, I'm not sure her post, but she didn't seem to be like a doctor or a nurse, but she was someone who was working in the hospital. And she recognized Isha. She came over, asked her, you know, where she was from. And Isha had a very serious look on her face. And she said, "Do you mean my home?" She said, yes, I'm asking, where do you live? And with a very serious look on her face, she said, "Vrindavan." And the woman looked at her, and I can't remember exactly what she said. It was something like, "Wisconsin?" And she was bewildered, like, and Isha was, "Vrindavan." And she looked, and she was about to explain what is Vrindavan, but the woman somehow changed the subject very quickly, and Isha couldn't go on to speak. She couldn't. But this was, this is quite relevant, because it's also, I think it's in connection to what we want to, we're going to be speaking about tomorrow, is where she should go. Of course, she's going to Goloka. That we don't decide. That's already been decided. But until maybe, huh? Yes. Well, he says there's a few minor details will have to be discussed. So, last night, we began by giving a little introduction to Briha Bhagavatamrita, and we explained how Sanatana Goswami had compiled this, how we gave a little history of Parikshit Maharaj and how he had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami and present were also many other assembled sages, and how Uttara, it was, I think it was just in like an hour. Someone may say, how was this whole discussed in an hour? It was about an hour before Parikshit Maharaj was to depart. Somehow time was condensed. You know how, like, actually, the Acharyas explain it, that when you're really absorbed in hearing about Krishna, so many hours can pass as if it's it's just like a moment. It goes so quickly, like 3 hours? Like, where did it all go? So anyway, so Parikshit Maharaj had about an hour before he was to depart, and Uttara asked that question. And this whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita was presented to her within that hour before he was to be bitten by the snake, by snake bird. As we mentioned, Jaimini Rishi was present and he heard this, and therefore he was able to later relate that which he had heard from Parikshit to Uttara, to Janmanjaya, Janmajaya, who was the son of Parikshit Maharaj. And as we said, the essence or the theme of the first part of Brihadbhagavatamrita is essentially the characteristic of a devotee, of the devotee who is a recipient of the mercy of the Lord. We kind of hinted what the culmination of it was yesterday by describing how ultimately a devotee who has received the Lord's mercy, that the characteristic of his having received it is that he feels he doesn't have enough of it. He feels that, what qualification do I have to receive Krishna's mercy? When he looks at himself and his own qualification, and he looks especially at his past, the things that he has done, he's feeling that, why should Krishna give mercy to me? I really need mercy because I have no qualification for it, but I need it. Therefore, he always feels as he doesn't have enough of Krishna's mercy because of his lack of qualification. Certainly, he doesn't think, oh, Krishna's being partial to everyone but me. Doesn't think like that. He thinks that I'm not qualified. Because I'm not qualified, why should Krishna give it to me? But therefore, I need it. More than it, because if I depend on my own qualification, what hope? What hope do I have? And that's, of course, a very, very essential quality or characteristic of a devotee, is he never thinks that, as soon as he thinks he has qualification, other than mercy, then he has no qualification. That's his disqualification. Because I think I gave the example maybe last time I was here, maybe not, of how the that pastime of Lord Chaitanya, when he gave his mercy to the brahmachari who came into the house of Shivas Pandit, who thought he had qualification to enter kirtan, his qualification that he was renounced and austere. And therefore, he was very persuasive with Shivas. Let me into your house. Please let me see the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. And he was pushing because he felt that, I'm a very austere person. I renounce. I eat only, drink only a little milk, eat fruits and berries, and I'm very learned in the scriptures. And, I must be able to go. I mean, certainly I must be a candidate at least for entering, because at that particular time, Lord Chaitanya was not allowing anybody in for that one continuous year during the nocturnal kirtans of the Lord, prior to his going to the streets with Sankirtan. Only the Lord's most confidential devotees were allowed to participate in those nocturnal kirtans, and non-devotees were not allowed. The Lord was specifically relishing taste of the holy name, especially relishing in the association of his confidential associates, and therefore non-devotees were restricted. They would knock at the door, they would complain, let us in, we want to see also what's going on there. Some of them were even thinking that they were actually, people were thinking they were performing saintly activities, but actually by hearing the screams and the sounds, they were thinking they were just simply getting intoxicated and enjoying with women, and they wanted to expose them. So they wanted to get in for that reason, to expose them. But this brahmachari was thinking that, no, actually, I want to see these kirtans. So he thought he had some qualification, and therefore Shivas finally let him in, but put him off in a place to hide so that the Lord would not see him, but at least he would be able to see the Lord's kirtan. So then, in the midst of that kirtan, the kirtan began, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing, and all the devotees were experiencing great bliss and ecstasy, which is the Lord, which was the nature of Prem Sankirtan. Prem Sankirtan means that it's Sankirtan of those devotees who are situated in love. And the Lord experiences great bliss as well as the devotees experience that great bliss in Prem Sankirtan. But the Lord did not feel bliss that night, and therefore he stopped his kirtan and he said, someone in this room is not not situated in prema, and therefore I'm not experiencing ecstasy. And then Srivas, because he Srivas had allowed him, Srivas felt he had to speak up right away because he would be held culpable. So he said, but actually, he's very austere. And very renounced, and he was trying to describe the qualification for the person he allowed in. And Lord Chaitanya began speaking very strongly and chastising the brahmacharya. He says, what qualifications does he think he has for receiving, for seeing this kirtan? Does he think that simply by drinking milk and eating wild roots and berries, that's sufficient qualification? So then he gave the qualification, of course, is one who is fully takes shelter of me. He says, even if a sannyasi, although he may be renounced, but if he does not take shelter of me, he will not get my mercy. Whereas one who is born of a low family, low birth, but if he takes shelter of me, certainly he becomes qualified for all mercy because he's taken shelter. And that symptom of taking shelter is that the devotee has taken shelter completely of the Lord and does not think of himself as being qualified, but he thinks that I'm taking shelter of you because I'm in need of mercy. And if you don't give me mercy, I have no hope. What hope do I have on my own qualification? So when the brahmachari heard this whole description, his consciousness changed. And he was thinking, how fortunate I am. I was an offender. Previously I was thinking I had been qualified. But now I can understand I have no qualification. But the Lord was so kind that due to my offenses, still he has given me his mercy by chastising me in this way. So the brahmachari just stood out and decided that he would leave because the Lord did not want him present. But then because the Lord, being all pervasive super soul, understanding his heart, could understand now he's qualified. So as the brahmachari was about to leave, the Lord told him to stop at the doorway and said, come back here. And then the Lord placed his lotus foot on his head and said, do not ever think again that your so-called qualifications were qualifications for my mercy. He said, this is not the criteria. Only those who've taken shelter of me can qualify for my mercy. And said, therefore, do never think like this again. And then the Lord immediately allowed the kirtan to begin, and the brahmachari took part in the kirtan as an associate of the Lord. So it's an example which illustrates, again, this point about how the devotee does not think himself to be qualified in any way, but fully dependent upon the Lord's mercy. And therefore, thinking that if I look at my past, especially my past activities, what I have done, persons I have mistreated, and persons I have offended, attachments that were there within my heart, and my lack of love for Krishna. If I look at all these things, then I realize that I have no qualification on my own. Therefore, he's always thinking, I need more mercy because he can't do it any other way. So that's one of the characteristics for a devotee who always feels like that, not in a self-indulgent way, but in a fully dependent way, then that's a symptom of actually of having received the mercy of the Lord. The first is that one does not feel that he has enough of the mercy. The second, he feels that he doesn't do enough to serve the Lord. There's always more he can do. He's not never satisfied with what he's done. He doesn't sit and rest on his laurels or pedestal thinking, what I've done. You know. But he always thinks that I've not done enough and therefore I need to do more. And this is also another characteristic. Sanatana Goswami explains that these three stages, first the stage of I don't have enough mercy, the second is that I've not done enough to serve the Lord, and the third is that I don't have enough love for the Lord. These are characteristics of the neophyte, the middle stage devotee, and the very advanced devotee. The neophyte devotee needs mercy. He needs mercy, and because he thinks like that, he becomes qualified for mercy. The more advanced stage, like the Madhyama, he needs service. He needs bhajan. He needs to be absorbed in bhajan and meditation upon pleasing the Lord, and therefore serving the Lord and satisfying the Lord in this way. Therefore, he thinks he doesn't have enough service. Whereas those who are situated on the highest platform, they don't think they have enough love, because they always want to taste the prema. Taste the prema, which is, of course, not because selfishly taste. That's not the desire to taste pure love, the desire to taste the pure holy name. The Lord, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in the Harinam Chitamani, is not a material desire. Because the only way that one can actually taste prema is if one actually has love. And the characteristic of love is total selflessness and the total desire to please the Lord. So that he becomes very more advanced devotee, he wants to increase his love. And therefore, this is the characteristic or symptom of one who's received mercy, is that he has these thoughts. And the whole story of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes how it begins, actually, as we said, Parikshit Maharaj is relating to his mother, and he speaks to him about different categories of devotees. And he speaks about how once there was this devotee, he was a Brahmin, and he was a very elevated Brahmin. And this place in Prayag, there were many also Brahmins who were assembled, and they were discussing amongst themselves about the glories of Lord Madhava, who was their object of worship. And they were discussing about among them, saying to each other that you've been the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. So during this discussion, another Brahmin came, who happened to be like the spiritual leader of all the Brahmins in that region. He came to that place, and he began worship. He built an altar. He took some sand, mud, made an altar in that place, and he put his shalagram shila on the altar and began worshipping the shila. And then he began offering food to all the Brahmins, to the Lord, and then he took the food and he offered to all the Brahmins, as well as he offered praise to all the Brahmins. And in many respects, he showed himself to be such a very, very qualified Brahmin. And after he performed all the seva to all the assembled Brahmins, and then he went before the Lord and he offered the Lord, please, I don't even want any results of the service I've just rendered to all of these Brahmins. Whatever result I may get, I want you to take it. I don't want it for myself. I want you to have it and offer it to the Lord. So when Narada Muni saw this Brahmin, he was thinking, this Brahmin is definitely recipient of Krishna's mercy. And he went over to the Brahmin and spoke to him and said, I can understand. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, especially amongst all those who have assembled here. Look what you've done. And he began glorifying the Brahmin. And the Brahmin said, oh, please don't say that. How can I reciprocate the Lord properly in devotional service? He said, I have no qualification to satisfy the Lord. He said, how can I sufficiently even feed all of these Brahmins? I'm only giving the paltry amount of, I have nothing really satisfactory to offer them. So he said, but off in the southern part of India, there is a kingdom there, and there is a king, and he worships the Lord, who is always there, right next to him, and next to his palace in his form, of the deity form of the Lord. And he has great opulence, and all the citizens, they're all fully satisfied, and pilgrims come from all over to get his mercy. He is certainly a recipient of the mercy of the Lord. So this is how it begins. It begins, Narada Muni first goes to this Brahmin, and then the Brahmin sends him to go see this king, and he goes to the king, and he sees the king, and he says, certainly you are the recipient of the mercy of the Lord. And the king says, no, I have not received the mercy of the Lord. What possible service can I render? He said that actually I have a very short lifespan. He said, don't you know the demigods, they live a very long lifespan. And the demigods, there, the Lord personally comes in his form to accept offerings before them. They are far, far more qualified than I am to satisfy. And therefore, I have not sufficiently received the mercy of the Lord. And so the king, he sends Narada Muni, he said, please, if you want to see somebody who's received the mercy of the Lord, then you should go to the heavenly planets and just see the demigods and see how they are the recipients of the mercy of the Lord. So Narada Muni goes to the heavenly planets, and when he arrives in the heavenly planets, he sees that many of the demigods are assembled, and the Lord of sacrifice is also present there, and all the demigods are surrounding, offering their sacrificial offerings to the Lord. The Lord is accepting their sacrificial offerings, and then he sees, sitting next to the Lord on a throne, is Indra. The king told him to go. You go to Indra. So he went to Indra, and then when he saw Indra, he began glorifying Indra.